Well, I think I'd say they're somewhat founded. You should be concerned, but it depends on what you're going to be concerned about. Divisiveness in the country is clearly growing. We have, to simplify it, two chunks of the country which live in different information spaces that believe very different things about today's reality in this country on multiple different levels, be it economic, political, social. That is not a good thing. That is something to be worried about. I think most of the political science community in academia is quite concerned about it. It's also clearly an issue that concerns the government, law enforcement, because they're seeing real on the ground consequences of this. Having said that, I think we're probably not anywhere near a civil war. And probably, and I might eat these words in the future, we're never going to get there. Part of it, I think, is because while this is useful for politicians to stoke, and it's useful for talking heads on TV to stoke because they gain benefits from the divisiveness, I don't think we see yet indications that this will lead to mass mobilization into violence. Will it stoke some individuals to get involved in more lone wolf or even small group acts of terror? Yes, we've already seen this. That's not going away. But I think a large scale, like I said, mobilization in the Civil War is not anything that we see on the horizon. And I doubt we would get there.
Is there anything that those of us who are just average, everyday, regular citizens can do to combat, one, this divisiveness, and two, this rising extremism? Because if it reaches a fever pitch and if it results in more examples of violence, let's say like January 6th, we're all going to suffer from it. So, what can we all do to lessen the impact or blunt the weapons on the part of the extremists?
That's an extremely important question. It's also a very difficult question to answer. I personally think that information is crucial here. And I'm not alone on this. There are many other people who are in the counterterrorism business who agree with this, that it's the general information sphere, and then it's the specific information that people get on a daily basis. And one of the things that's really problematic is, one, social media, and two, cable news. Both of those means of garnering information have stoked the divisiveness. And politicians know that. They know how to capitalize on that. But also, the people who are in those businesses, cable news, or are people who are getting their information out on social media, they're making money off of it. They're getting a following from it. I would love it if the American public would step back and ask themselves, okay, what are the incentives for these people who are providing my information to provide me with a particular story or a particular narrative or a particular set of here's the good guys, here are the bad guys? I see way too many people, even people who are educated enough to know better, who get their information from these very politicized, very polarized sources. And that's stoking the extremism because some people take that as a rallying cry. And then they'll go to more extreme sources of information. So what may start out somebody watching a cable news show, or they've got a particular algorithm in their social media feed that's leading them into a particular way of looking at the world, then they may start to go into the darker recesses of the information space where there's some really extreme rhetoric going on, and also calls to arms where people are kind of whipping each other up into this sense that, well, you're not really one of the movement unless you do something about it. And for some people who have perhaps what I would call a weak sense of who they are, or they have a real desire to be a somebody quickly, going out and committing an act of terrorism or political violence can be seen as a very fast, effective way to become somebody, to become a hero for the movement. So some of this stuff may just resonate with some people in that they feel like, yeah, I'm really angry about these people out there who are trying to destroy my country. Some people may take it as, I've got to do something about those. Politicians, I think, will pay a price in history. The ones who've stoked this divisive rhetoric, history will not be kind to them. But between now and the time people realize that this is really a very dangerous path to go on, we could see quite a bit of damage to this country, and unfortunately, lives lost because of it. That's the thing that I find truly disturbing about this.
Right, and not just lives lost too. And I mean, that's the worst case, but Civil wars destroy economies and destroy people's livelihoods. And if there was an actual civil war or real serious civil unrest in the US, I mean, the stock market would tank. The world economy would crash because the world economy is so much based in the bedrock in the United States economy. It's the engine that drives the entire world economy. So I see these politicians and the networks and some of the social media outlets stoking this division, but I don't get the sense that they recognize what kind of a ball of fire that they're playing with and how we could all really be in a mess if it came to the kind of conclusion that they seem to be portending.
I agree with you. And it's very disheartening to see people who should know better, who should know that the consequences of their actions could be really detrimental to society, but they're just thinking about the short-term gains that they make from this kind of thing, either through profit or some psychological gain of, oh, look, I'm famous. I've got all these people who follow me. You know, that shouldn't be discounted either. It's not just about money. It's also about the psychological benefits that people get from being a big talking head that has lots of followers. Unfortunately, I think some of these people who've been very divisive have been opened up a Pandora's box because others have seen how successful they've been and then they try to imitate them. And so we've seen some of them who've been kicked off of TV because they're too extreme, but they find other ways to gain a following and keep that following. And it's very disheartening. I mean, we live in a democracy, and I would never want there to be any kind of limits put on freedom of speech and that kind of thing, but people should be more responsible about the kinds of things they say. And, you know, one of the things that the public can do is the public can, for example, boycott really extremist rhetoric. If it's somehow monetized, if they're making money out of it, think of ways that you can make these people think about the economic consequences of their behavior. Short of that, there's not too much that can be done.
That isn't a real positive note, but it is the real thing. And so much of the time, because I'm in the news media, I mean, I spend a lot of time thinking about this stuff and reading about it, and I find it very distressing. And then I'll talk to people about it, and they say, well, I just can't handle watching the news anymore. I need to forget about this for a while. But the more that we put our head in the sand because we can't take it, the more advantage I think people who are making a buck on this or foreign governments who are making hay on this, the more we hide from it, it's better for them.
Yeah, absolutely. If you and I are hiding from it and we're relatively well informed about what's going on, that may mean that the people who are not very well informed have decided they're going to continue to be the consumers of this information. And, you know, to a certain degree, there's some responsibility that I think folks like you and I have, which is to try to educate people of the facts and tell them that there are consequences to this kind of behavior, this kind of information polarization, and also make them aware. This is really important in my work. Make them aware that there are foreign governments who are trying to stoke this division to make us weaker because they want a weak United States so they can do what they want in the world, which is to America's detriment. And I think some people don't get that. Some people don't understand that Russia, I think, is the one that I find most perplexing, is there's a segment of American society that doesn't realize that Russia really means to do America harm. That's unquestionable. You'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who works in national security who doesn't have that opinion because the evidence is just so apparent. And having said that, you know, we need to take into account how they're trying to divide us more. I think there's general agreement on China. There's much less agreement on Russia.
Well, it's that old saying, divide and conquer, right? If you can divide a strong country, and I mean, geez, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s at least, well, probably up into maybe about 1972, Americans were pretty much of one mind about Russia and foreign influence. Once the Vietnam War started happening, then people started doubting the word of the government more. And they started becoming more skeptical. And I think that it's healthy to be skeptical about your government. But I don't think it's healthy to just assume that your government is bad and somebody else's is good and that they don't have ill intentions because, as you said, they actually do. I think one of the good things over the past 80 years is that we haven't been involved in a world war and we've had relative peace. But I guess that people who are younger who didn't have relatives in World War II, you know, my dad and all my uncles, were fighting against the Nazis. So I have at least some memory of a time when things weren't good, and they weren't good all over the world. And the United States was the only thing that was standing up against tyranny. But people today don't remember that. And I think they have some sort of belief that something like that couldn't happen again. But I really think it possibly could, especially because Putin is threatening to throw nukes at Ukraine.
Right. Yeah, I think one of the things I see that's most troubling about American public opinion is the growing support for isolationism and the sense that the world doesn't really need the United States to play that strong stabilizer role, that strong role of kind of bailing out countries that are in really distressful situations. We haven't done that out of the goodness of our heart. We've done it because it makes the world a safer, more prosperous place for the United States. And so this is one of the things I'm really concerned about, is if we take this notion that the world will be a safe place for America, the world will be a prosperous place for the United States when we don't play a large international role, that's a pipe dream. We have to stay engaged, or it severely diminishes our way of life here.